just open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of meeting together in your house in the middle of the week, as we have been at our work, and we are perhaps getting a little weary. But Lord, I thank you for the encouragement we can have in each other. And as we especially look to you, I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts through your word. I pray that you bless our time together in prayer afterwards. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Let me take this off audio so that it won't echo. And would you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1? Philippians chapter 1. I'd like us to read our text at the very outset of the short message. So as you're turning to Philippians chapter 1, would you follow along in your Bible as I read aloud for us verses 9 through 11? So Philippians 1, beginning in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. If you listened to this past Sunday morning's message, I hope you remembered my challenge to you. Anybody remember my challenge? All right, that was, as I've read these three verses where Paul listed what he prayed for them, to come up with a further list on your own as you come across examples and exhortations about prayer in your daily Bible reading. What kinds of things should you and I specifically ask God to do for and in our brothers and sisters for Christ? Just in case you couldn't come up with something, I've got something, but I just wanted to give you the opportunity first to share. What other things would you pray, in addition to what Paul said here in verses 9 through 11, that he prayed for his brothers and sisters in Christ?
That they be strengthened in their inner man.
Okay. All right, anything else? What would you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Specifically, all right, first of all, I hope in our local church. But don't limit it to that. There's many other brothers and sisters in Christ we have, especially as we have such things as email and text messaging and all the rest. We have a wider group of people we can pray for.
Excuse me, I didn't hear what Miss Brenda said.
Okay. Want to say it louder, honey?
That they would be strengthened in their inner man.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
I did. All right, anyone else? I won't delay much longer. I don't want to put you on the spot.
That they'll be kept from the evil one.
There we go. Kept from the evil one. What else would you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ?
For their safety?
Sure, absolutely. For their safety, as Bev said. Yeah. Especially if you know they're going on a trip. But hey, just going in traffic, in Montreal traffic, you want to pray for the safety. My poor sweetheart had to be in coming home traffic 2 days in a row here. The car situation. So what a blessing that God kept her safe. All right. Especially as I remember that one time she was rammed from the back. Remember? How many remember that? Yeah. Wow. Anyway, so we can pray for each other that way. Anything else? Okay. Go ahead.
Their strength and their salvation.
Okay. If they're your brothers and sisters in Christ,
they are
saved. Okay. But you're thinking of praying for others who are not saved. So absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and share some things that we could add to that list. So I've divided up into three major outline points because that's my mind works that way, outlines, okay? And the first is we need to pray for spiritual needs to be met, spiritual needs to be met. So I'm asking, are you praying for God to give wisdom in important decisions your brother or sister in Christ is making? James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." And Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Obviously, that's just verse 9. So, of course, as James states, we should pray for God to give us wisdom. But as the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 1:9, have you been praying for God to give your brothers and sisters in Christ wisdom? Okay. Are you praying for God to stir up the hearts of your brothers and sisters in Christ to want to grow in Christ and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in his work of grace in their hearts and their lives? You say, we have to pray for that? Well, yeah, you know what happens? God won't work in us if we are not cooperating. Did you know that? He won't make you. Okay? He won't twist your arm and slap your face and say, grow. You know? No, he loves you and he wants it to be something that you want. And he commands you to want it, but he won't make you. So therefore, we won't grow unless we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Colossians 1, verse 9, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." So, as you can see in this passage, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12, the Apostle Paul's prayer for these Colossian Christians was not only that God would grant them wisdom and understanding, but also that this wisdom and knowledge of God's will would motivate them to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and would in turn bear spiritual fruit. You know, when I said God's not going to twist your arm, but if you ask God to work in a brother or sister's heart, God will then give more motivation. He will put things in their path to encourage them to want that and to do that. And this is what we can pray for. Sometimes I've prayed for some individual. I said, Lord, turn up the heat, you know, get them going, wake them up, you know, to their need and give them the motivation they need to obey your word in this area. Okay. So, the third thing about praying for your brother and sister in Christ, are you praying for our missionaries and for your pastor? And for everyone else in our church, that we would find opportunities and have wisdom and courage to witness to the lost. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I'll give you a little time to find that because I know it helps if you see the words as well as hear the words. Let me take a drink of water while we're doing that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith." So here the Apostle Paul himself is asking for the Christians in Thessalonica to pray for him. So you can see how important it is for us to pray for those who are serving the Lord, witnessing to the lost, including not just our missionaries and your pastor, but also everyone else in the church, because we all should be witnessing to the lost around us, at least by giving out gospel tracts, but even more importantly, by giving a verbal witness person to person, or writing it in a letter. I've written salvation letters to people, and you can do that too. And sometimes you can give a brief summary of it, then encourage them to read the tract that you include with that letter. So there's different ways that you can witness. So pray for each other that God would open doors of opportunity, especially if you know that you have unsaved loved ones or they have unsaved loved ones. And like we pray for, Bruce's unsaved loved ones and Rolando's unsaved loved ones and so forth, and my unsaved loved ones. And so we can, I think all of us have unsaved loved ones somewhere. And so we can pray for the Lord to work in their hearts and just make it harder for them to resist the gospel. Are you praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ who are discouraged or maybe even backslidden? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. And then verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Of course, this is all spiritual things. It's not talking about someone who, has anemia or whatever. No, it's talking about spiritual weakness here. So here in these two verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's no specific command to pray for those who are discouraged, faint-hearted, or weak. Rather, prayer is understood. The best way to begin to help a discouraged or backslidden brother or sister in Christ is to pray for them. Then talk with them and do concrete things to help them. Remember, you're trying to encourage them if they're discouraged, and you're trying to encourage them to get back in the right relationship with the Lord if they're backslidden. So the encouragement is the key word here. So do things that would encourage them, say things that would encourage them. And then, of course, that ought to be in prayer. Although spiritual needs are at the top of the list, we also need to pray for physical needs to be met. James chapter 5, if you turn there with me. James chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. James writes this: Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Obviously, this is a passage that could be developed into a message. But the point here, I hope you're catching, is praying for the sick. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul writes, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, in other words, he'd been given revelations from the Lord about things, and because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. The key there is thorn in the what? Flesh. Okay, so the idea is here is a physical torment. Okay. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So whether a brother or sister in Christ has a temporary or chronic illness, whether they have a mild or major sickness, or whether they have had an injury, whatever it may be, God directs us to pray for them, trusting Him to heal them. By the way, does God sometimes not heal? The answer is yes, sometimes He does not heal. Okay. When in His sovereign plan, He wills that one of His children endure physical problems in order to accomplish His greater good purpose, as we saw in Paul's case in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and as we are assured in Romans 8, 28, where we know, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So there are some times when God wills that we endure cancer or pneumonia or whatever it may be, something that may be chronic, maybe even something that will take you home to heaven. But whatever it is, God has a good purpose in it. With Paul, the thorn in the flesh was there to keep him humble, to keep him from exalting himself, from thinking that, wow, I've got revelations nobody else has. You know, instead, Paul says, I'm so glad he gave me this so that I wouldn't do that. And what a blessing. God always has a good purpose in everything. I remember when Pastor Pentier, you remember when, you know, he was diagnosed with cancer. Remember, we had a prayer meeting right up there. And I remember the Lord giving me a very strong indication that He was going to heal him. Now, it happened to be He gave him 5 more years, but then He took him home. So it's very interesting. God answers prayer when we trust Him, when we believe Him. But it was still God's will for Paul Pelletier to go home to be with the Lord. God used that in several lives. And so what a blessing. At the funeral service, there were people who heard the gospel. That's always a good thing. So when someone who knows the Lord dies, it's always a good thing, because at the funeral, there's an opportunity for the gospel to go out to unsaved people. So God has a good purpose. Well, spiritual needs and physical needs both demand our prayers. But in addition to these, we need to pray for other needs to be met. You need to pray for those who have material needs, basic needs like food, clothing, housing, and so forth. Would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 15. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So here again, not only should you pray for these needs to be met, but you should also ask the Lord if there's something you can do to meet these needs. How many of you have watched Sheffy? How many have seen Sheffy? Okay. Do you remember when a family had a horse that had died or whatever? It was supposed to be pulling the cart and they had no horse and they were kind of poor. And Sheffy realized that as he was praying for this family, what did he do? He gave him his horse. He says, here, I've got the answer to prayer right here. So he gave him his horse. So you can see that sometimes God will show you how you can meet a need. Sometimes you can't, but at least you can pray for God to do that. And maybe God will work that answer through someone else. But always ask, Lord, is there something I can do and see what the Lord leads you to do. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? So again, several places in Scripture, the encouragement is to do what you can, what God has put in your hands to do, and we can do that, be a help to our brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to pray for those who are enduring difficult home and family situations. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. I'm sure that some brother or sister in Christ has shared some burden on their hearts about something that's going on in their home or in their own situation. And we can help bear that burden by praying with them and praying for them. James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. That's an important phrase there. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. God is saying, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Oftentimes, there may be nothing you can do to rectify a difficult marriage or family environment that a Christian brother or sister is enduring, but you can pray for God to work in that situation. And you can encourage by your words and deeds those who are struggling in these difficult situations. So I think even this brief list of things that the Lord would want us to pray for one another should stir up our hearts, begin to pray more for each other. Pray for one another, as James 5:16 says. I hope that you'll make that a priority in your daily talking to the Lord in prayer. May the Lord use us to pray more effectively for our brothers and sisters in Christ.